All right. We're going to start by reading a short passage from the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy. Lord, I look for your anointing upon the word and ask that you would not only give us the words to speak, but the way in which they should be spoken. 18 through 20 of the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy. This is the Lord speaking. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. This is God speaking to Moses, and he's saying, I'm going to raise up a prophet from among their brethren. In other words, he will be from among the Israelites. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. God is speaking of two prophets here. The prophet that shall be raised up from among the brethren, and the words of God shall be in his mouth, and he shall speak only that which God would have him to speak. And God says that it will come to pass that whoever will not hearken unto the words that he speaks in my name, it will be required of him. And the second prophet is the one that presumes to speak a word in the name of the Lord, which God did not command of him to speak, and he says that prophet shall die. Not only shall that prophet die, but those who hear his word that he speaks and receives them and believes in them, death shall come forth within them also. I don't think we have any trouble understanding exactly who this prophet is. You notice that in my Bible, in verse 18, the word prophet here that he raises up among the brethren has a capital P. It's probably the same in all the other Bibles. But I think it's easy to understand that who this prophet is that God is going to raise up. That prophet is Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, raised up from among the brethren of Israel. And he has the word of God in his mouth. But along with this, he lets us to understand that it's not a good thing to presume to prophesy in the name of the Lord when the word of God has not been placed in your mouth. Now I want you to turn to the 10th chapter of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And we're going to read a short passage here, beginning with verse 11. Now this is Jesus speaking, and in verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. How can you know a good shepherd? A good shepherd is one that gives his life for the sheep. Now look at the next verse, 12. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. So we see basically the same thing here as we saw in Deuteronomy 18. The true prophet, and then a prophet that presumes to speak the word of the Lord, which God had not commanded him. Now, he could be a very sincere person and not realize that his words are not the word of the Lord. But nevertheless, it says, that prophet shall die. And he dies, and the words that he speaks has death in them. Here we see the same type of thing. Jesus says he is the good shepherd. And then he says there's also hirelings that claim to be shepherds. But when the wolf comes to destroy the sheep, the hireling flees. He doesn't care for the sheep like the true shepherd does. He pretends to care until there's danger. Then off he goes. And the next verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. In other words, the good shepherd says, I know my sheep, and the sheep know me. Jesus Christ is the true prophet. Jesus Christ is the true shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. Now, turn to one more in Hebrews chapter 3. Third chapter of Hebrews. We're going to read about four verses beginning with the first verse. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, you understand who the writer of Hebrews is speaking to. He's speaking to holy brethren. He's speaking to those who are partakers of the heavenly calling. And he says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the prophet. Jesus is the shepherd. The shepherd involves both the pastor and the teaching ministry. And he is the apostle and high priest. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he has builded the house, as he who has builded the house has more honor than the house. For in every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. So, we see here in the scriptures concerning Jesus Christ, all that he is, prophet, priest, shepherd. Now, the last scripture we're going to look at is in Ephesians chapter 4. Begin with verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, which he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, we've been over this portion of Scripture so many, many, many times. We understand why these ministers are given, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The body of Christ cannot be edified, built up, and brought to the place where it functions without these ministers. It just can't happen. That's why they're given, for the perfecting of the saints. In other words, for their maturing process. Until they all come to the place where they are brought into the fullness of Christ. Christ, the individual, becomes a many-membered Christ. And all those who become members of this many-membered Christ come into it because of this ministry. Now, I want to go back up to verse 9 and 10. So often when this scripture in Ephesians chapter 4 is preached on, 9 and 10 is left out, and they usually just begin with verse 11. But 9 and 10 is important. Because we've seen already in these other passages that we've read that Jesus is the apostle, he is the prophet, he is the evangelist, he is the shepherd, which involves the pastor and the teacher. He is all these things. Now, he that ascended is speaking about the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ after his death, burial, resurrection, the ascension of Christ that took place. But it says that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And we are the lower parts of the earth. There's a passage of scripture in the 139th Psalm that brings this out real clearly. He descends into people. And he, verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended, that he might fulfill all things. So, Jesus Christ, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the high priest, he descends into someone and ministers through them as an apostle. The apostle Jesus Christ ministering through the many-membered Christ, or a particular member of the many-membered Christ. Now, the person that he ministers through has an apostolic ministry. But Jesus Christ is the apostle. He is also the prophet that is raised up among his brethren. And he descends and ministers through someone as the prophet of the Lord. And that person has a prophet's ministry. But Jesus Christ is the prophet. And it's the same thing with evangelists. Same thing with the pastor. Same thing as the teacher. And those that would presume to be an apostle, or to presume to be a prophet, and try and bring the, and even if it was the prophet Jesus that ministered through them, they bring the credit upon themselves. That ministry begins to minister death. If, for example, I was fortunate enough for Jesus Christ the Apostle to move through me and to minister, and I tried to bring that, take credit for it myself, then I would be presuming something that is not true. And that changes the ministry to death. You understand what I'm saying? Now, why in the world am I bringing this up this morning? Simply because yesterday I typed in on my computer apostolic and prophetic ministry. You wouldn't believe how many websites popped up. I tell you what, there was men and women also. I couldn't believe the way that they were building up themselves. Prophet so-and-so. Apostle so-and-so. All the number of people that were taking credit for what they and was God moving through them, I don't know, but there was so much pride and vanity that it turned me off completely. I believe very much in apostolic ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, we need those ministries because the church cannot become what it is supposed to be without them. But when you have all these people that are claiming to be apostles and prophets, when they're simply doing nothing more than building up their own flesh, they're ministering death. And how many people are going to get turned off because of that? It turned me off. I didn't like it. Lo and behold, one website, I don't remember the lady's name, but she professed to have the fivefold ministry. She was an apostle. She was a prophetess. She was an evangelist. She was a pastor. And she was a teacher. She had it all. Listen, a true apostle doesn't toot his horn and talk about his apostolic ministry. If he talks about an apostolic ministry, he talks about Jesus Christ the apostle. A true prophet does not advertise himself as a prophet. He magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ, the true prophet that God has raised up. A shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. A true apostle, he lays his life down for the sheep too. He doesn't profess to be anything. It's amazing how the more that a person becomes a channel for Christ, the less he becomes. I must decrease that he might increase. As long as you are an apostle, the true apostle cannot move through you. As long as you are the prophet of the day, the true prophet of Christ cannot function through you. The pride and arrogance of man of wanting to be something special and draw credit for the movings of God is the one that ministers death to the people of the Lord. There's only one apostle, and he is the apostle and high priest of our confession. There's only one true prophet. There's only one true evangelist, one true pastor, one true shepherd. And in each case, the true lays his life down for the sheep. Amen.